For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen. It's been 3 years since those bells rang for 9 parishioners gunned down at Charleston's Mother Emanuel Church. But in that time, the FBI has been quietly contemplating changes to its gun background check system. The white supremacist who prayed with his victims before repeatedly unloading his Glock pistol 77 times managed to get the gun despite a felony drug arrest.
There is no excuse under any circumstances for Dylan Roof to have ever gotten a weapon. There just isn't.
Attorney Andy Savage represents several victims who blame the FBI for the attack. Its initial search into Roof's background through the National Instant Criminal Background Check, or NICS, turned up the arrest, but did not provide enough details to automatically deny the gun buy. It was up to the FBI to find the actual report by contacting the local agency that filed it, but clerical errors kept that from happening within the 3-day waiting period. The glitch became known by critics as the Charleston loophole. A judge recently dismissed the victims' lawsuits against the FBI, saying examiners did follow the rules, although he blasted the federal government for what he called glaring weaknesses in its background check system. He even noted examiners were denied access to a larger database of more than 400 million records, including incident and arrest reports, as well as probation and parole reports, the very database the FBI is now considering.
It's very frustrating when our hands are tied behind our back.
Stephen Morris is a retired assistant director for the FBI's Criminal Justice Information Services Division. It oversees such gun background checks. He says plans to give examiners access to that second, bigger national database could help keep more guns out of the wrong hands. It would be used after an initial search turns up red flags, as was the case with Dylan Roof, allowing examiners who need more information to access specific reports electronically in just a matter of minutes. The National Data Exchange, or INDEX as it's called, has been around for years, so why hasn't it been made available before? Morris explains the information is owned by the state and local agencies that voluntarily supply it, so the feds have to follow their rules. What's more, not all of the cases have been adjudicated, so releasing that information could be a violation of personal privacy and might not even be relevant. What's more,
the system is burdened and the resources are overtaxed.
The FBI says it cannot comment on the plans. They're spelled out in recommendations by its advisory policy board and could take as long as 9 months to 2 years to roll out. Former Assistant Director Morris believes the change will be welcomed.
When incidents happen and it's determined that a piece of information was missed, I can assure you the men and women of the FBI take it very, very seriously. It's very personal to them because they see their purpose in life as being that lifeline.
Attorney Andy Savage says it's personal to him as well. He will appeal the recent ruling dismissing those lawsuits. He remembers a call from Felicia Sanders, who had just watched her son take his final breath while shielding her 11-year-old granddaughter from Roof's gun.
When I got there at her home, she was still in the clothes. She was unable to take a shower because that was the last bit of relationship with her son.
He believes if that larger FBI database had been accessible then, the victims would still be with those they loved. For more on the story, go to southcarolinapublicradio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen.